Then the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On Senator Pogamiller's motion, all in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails. Our chaplain this morning is Lori Svatek, Director of Campus Ministry at St. Catherine University.
Strong and loving God, bless these Senate leaders with grace and wisdom. May they act kindly with conviction and be hospitable to criticism. May they continue to act out of service, letting aides, constituents, and those who depend on them know they are seen and respected. Sustain in them, O God, developed gifts of deep listening and wholesome words, dignity and appreciation, understanding and patience. Bless these women and men with good friends who can be mirrors of blind spots and treasured supporters of creative thinking. May this day be a blessing to them as they are a blessing to all of us in Minnesota. Amen.
The secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Perry, Pogamiller, Pretner Solon, Ress, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, Wieger.
A quorum is present. We have one official communication. It's listed on the agenda and will be referred as indicated. Third order of business, messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file 2352, a bill for an act relating to taxation, accelerating the income tax charitable deduction for relief of Haitian earthquake victims. Senate file 2352 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 2352 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
And Senator Bach, would you tell us what the differences are from when the bill
left
the Senate?
Members, this is the bill that allowed people who donated to the Haiti relief effort from January 11th until March 1st to be able to take that charitable contribution on their own nine income tax returns, and all the House did in his amendment is put an effective date on that we were missing.
Is there a discussion on Senator Bach's motion? Hearing no discussion, Senator Bach has moved that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 2352 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion prevails and is adopted. Further discussion? There being no further discussion, the secretary will take the roll for Senate File 2350. Secretary will give Senate File 2352 its third reading.
Senate File 2352, a bill for an act relating to taxation, accelerating the income tax charitable deduction for relief of Haitian earthquake victims, etc.
Third reading. The secretary will take the roll.
excited.
All senators voting who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 59 ayes, 0 nays, Senate File 2352 is passed and its title agreed to. Proceed now to the fifth order of business, reports of committees. They are printed on the agenda. Senator Pogomiller.
Mr. President, I move that the reports of committees printed in the agenda be now adopted.
Senator Pogomiller has moved that the reports of the committees as printed in the agenda be adopted. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the most prevails, and they are adopted. Proceed to the sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. They are listed on the agenda without objection. Second reading. Proceed to the eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The bills are listed on the bill introduction calendar. There are several changes and referrals to bills. On page 2, Senate file number 2940 will be referred to the Committee on Finance. Senate file number 2941 will be referred to the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight. Senate file 2946 will be referred to the Committee on Judiciary. And on page 9, Senate File 3010 will be referred to the Committee on Judiciary, and Senate File number 3011 will be referred to the Committee on Higher Education. First reading. There are several authorship motions on the agenda. We'll take them as one motion. All in favor adopting those authorship changes indicate by saying aye. Opposed, they're adopted. We have three referrals on the agenda plus one to be read. I'll first call on Senator Skoy for Senate file number 2656.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that Senate File 2656 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and referred to the Committee on Taxes.
And Senator Skoy, have you talked with the committee chairs?
Yes, Mr. President. I've spoken to both chairs.
All in favor of Senator Skoy's motion to re-refer Senate File 2656, indicate by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Sharon.
President, I move that Senate File 2835 be withdrawn from the Committee on Taxes and be referred to the Committee State and Local Government Operations and Oversight.
Senator Sharon, have you talked with the committee chairs?
Yes.
All in favor of Senator Sharon's motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 2919 be withdrawn from the Committee on Taxes and re-refer to the Committee on Finance.
Senator Dibble, have you talked with the committee chairs?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, I have spoken with both committee chairs.
Okay. All in favor of Senator Dibble's motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails. We have one additional one that's not on the agenda. Senator Scheid, Senate File 2590.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 2590 be withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary and re-referred to the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight.
And Senator Scheid, on your motion.
Yes, Mr. President, both chairs agree that we referred this to the Judiciary Committee out of the Commerce and Consumer Protection Committee, and it deals with investments by municipalities, and we realized it really didn't need to go to Judiciary.
Okay. Discussion. Senator Scheid has moved that Senate File number 2590 be withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary and re-referred to the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Mike, what? There are several resolutions on the agenda. Without objection, they'll be referred to the Rules Committee. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, remaining on motions and resolutions, I'd move that we take up the Senate calendar.
Senator Pogamiller has moved to take up the Senate calendar. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails, and we'll take up the Senate calendar. And members, for your planning, we will not take up number two because of scheduling with the House of Representatives. Secretary will give number one on the Senate calendar its third reading.
Senate File 2596, a bill for an act relating to health occupations, modifying a mental health substance abuse review provision.
Third reading. Discussion. There being no discussion, the Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 2596. All senators voting who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 62 ayes and 0 nays, Senate File 2596 is approved and its title agreed to. Secretary will give number 3 on the Senate calendar, Senate File 2340, its third reading.
Senate File 2340, a bill for an act relating to veterans authorizing issuance of the Combat Wounded Vehicle License Plate to a recipient of the Purple Heart Medal who is continuing to serve in the military.
Third reading. There being no discussion, the Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 2340. All senators voting who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 62 ayes and 0 nays, Senate File 2340 is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, remaining on motions and that order of business, I'd move that the Senate do now resolve itself in. I move that we take up the general orders calendar.
On Senator Pogamiller's motion to take up the general orders calendar. All in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate to now resolve itself into Committee of the Whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On Senator Pogamiller's motion to resolve into a Committee of the Whole for the purpose of taking up the general orders calendar. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman, there's 7 bills designated for general orders today. I think we're planning to be here till about noon. or so, but if we could get through these seven, that would be good. I'd yield to Senator Scheid.
Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 568 be recommended to pass.
Senator Scheid has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 568 be recommended to pass. Senator Scheid, on your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill extends civil immunity to municipalities that donate public safety equipment to other municipalities. And the idea, well, I will tell you that we amended the bill last year. This is a bill that came to the floor last year. We've brought it back out and updated the effective date. That was the only change we made this year. If the donated equipment would cause injury or damage to somebody or to property, then the people who donate it would not be liable unless the claim was a direct result or the damage was a direct result of intentional misconduct or gross negligence, and it includes the failure to disclose known defects or mechanical failures. So we have a serious situation that's developed, for particularly with our fire departments, and a number of fire departments are able to purchase some new equipment, but they have equipment that's perfectly good. Well, I shouldn't say perfectly. They have some used equipment. For example, if a firefighter goes to one fire, their jacket has carcinogens in it. To one fire. But they can use it 500 times that year, 500 more times, and yet they are nervous about donating a used one to a fellow fire department somewhere in the state of Minnesota, and we see donated equipment all the way up to, I think, to pumper trucks, big trucks, going to places like Central and South America. Last year, a container even went to Eastern Europe, but they're not making those donations within the state of Minnesota for fear of civil liability. And so I'm asking for your support so we can encourage that equipment to be shared. Thank you.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Scheid yield for a question?
I'm sure she will, but before she does that, members, we're having a discussion on bills on general orders, and members are having a little difficulty hearing, so please keep the conversations down. Senator Scheid, or Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Scheid, in your bill, if this passes, what would prevent a municipality to simply, for lack of a better term, dump their old equipment on some other buyer or recipient of it, knowing full well that they may have something that it doesn't quite work real well, as opposed to, let's say, just have an as-is clause on a contract that says we're giving this or selling this to you at a deep discount as-is, and that the new recipient or buyer would simply sign off on it? Wouldn't that too have the same effect?
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, I suspect there would be those kinds of clauses, as-is clauses, but the language of the bill, and we amended this last year in Judiciary Committee, we have said you're not exempt from liability here if you fail to disclose a known defect or mechanical failure. Now, and obviously intentional misconduct or gross negligence would exempt you also. So I think that the language is pretty clear. When you know there's something wrong, you have to tell the donee, that there is this issue with the truck or with the jacket, whatever. But I think it's important that we get these donations being made again within Minnesota.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. President, thank you. Senator Scheid, I agree with the general premise of where you're going on this bill, and it's probably good to leave some type of oral record hear today that just because this bill might pass, it's still up to it. Ultimately, will be the responsibility of the giver or seller of the product to divulge what they know is wrong with it. A disclosure is important. And it's also responsible to the recipient or the buyer that they are receiving something at least secondhand, and that it's their responsibility in order to make it work for their community or their purpose. It's their responsibility also to determine the workability and the reliability of the product that they're getting. I'm assuming that you recognize both responsibilities of the giver or the seller to the recipient or the buyer of such a product.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Limmer, the language of the bill fits is subdivision 23, a new subdivision of a long list of civil immunity, if you will, exemptions or exceptions to civil law or to civil immunity, civil liability for municipalities. So it does not deal with the recipient, but they have duties of care as well that they, you know, don't get out on the street with a fire truck that has failing brakes or, you know, some other hazardous mechanical situation. But the language is very explicit. You must disclose known defects or mechanical failures. That's the donor. Municipality must disclose those.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Scheid, let me give you a hypothetical situation. Let's say there's a fire truck, a pumper truck, that's either given or sold at a tremendous discount to a new community. The new community is the recipient of it. Let's say that whatever was knowingly wrong with the truck was disclosed. And let's say there is no fire in that community for a year, and they all of a sudden have one, they go out on the emergency and something doesn't work on the truck. If it went to a court battle of some sort to get some type of remuneration, wouldn't the recipient of that truck have some responsibility after a year of checking out all the functions of that vehicle, or would it fall entirely on the giver or seller of the truck, the previous owner?
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Limmer, there is a duty for maintenance of that equipment. And so, yes, if you were a citizen who was injured by a piece of equipment that hadn't been examined, if it had just been tucked away in a garage for a year and never checked, I believe that there is a schedule of maintenance and those kind of safety checks, and I have to tell you, I don't have that information readily at my fingertips, but I believe that fire departments, for example, do have to follow a schedule of that maintenance.
Mr. President.
Senator Limmer.
Senator Scheid, all I'm trying to do is get a few fingerprints on our bill that we that someone down the road may have a situation where it may end up in court, and we're just trying to make sure that we understand the true intent of your bill. Thank you for your answers.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't have any questions of Senator Scheid, but I just have some comments about the bill. This has been an issue that I've been brought to my attention when I first came here, and it was quite hard for me to actually believe or understand that we were having to send our equipment down to someplace else.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
And not affording. I'm sorry.
Would you hold just a minute? Members, senators involved in the debate in this issue are having a very difficult time hearing each other. Could I ask staff and senators to be... Members, the senators involved in this debate are having a difficult time hearing each other. Senator Ingebrigtsen, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a comment. This just really makes sense, and I'm glad she's brought this. Senator Scheidt has brought this bill forward, and to address a couple of the concerns that Senator Limmer had. They're very good concerns. However, we have small departments out there that will be able to capitalize on this, and without being able to get some hand-me-down or less used equipment. What's happening is they're required to go out and buy this stuff, real expensive stuff, because this is not had. They've never had an opportunity to be able to do this. Therefore, it's costing you and I a lot more money, whether it's Homeland Security or not. It's coming out of our pocket, and it just makes good sense. Should the Minneapolis or St. Paul Fire Department have a truck that can be handed down to a Bertha or a small town of Donnelly in Minnesota where they don't have more than one or two calls a year. Do they need a brand new $250,000 pumper truck when they can get one that's good? And I'm glad to hear that there are some safeguards in there. That's certainly a good idea when it comes to liability, but it just makes good sense. And to Senator Limmer's point that, yes, in fact, they only do have one or two fires a year. That would be a concern. However, I do know that the fire departments train weekly, and every Monday you will see them out there running those trucks and spraying their water all over and doing what firemen do. And so it just makes good sense. And thank you so much for bringing the bill forward.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Ingebrigtsen, I'm not questioning whether we should allow this. I think this is a great idea. All I'm raising the question is, there may be some time in the future where there may be a legal question of who is responsible for the condition or the workability of that type of equipment. And what I'm asking is, let's get the true legislative intent out in public, so if there is a court case, there will be no question whether or not who would be responsible. That's all I'm asking. I think it's a very noble idea to reuse equipment, especially for communities that can't quite afford the big equipment, and they've got a great opportunity to get it at a discount or maybe even free.
Further discussion? There being no further discussion, Senator Scheidt has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 568 be recommended to pass. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails and the bill be recommended to pass. We'll proceed now to number 15 on general orders, Senate File 2512. Senator Scheidt.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. We're going to the next bill.
The next bill is number 15 on general orders, Senate
Thank
File
you.
2512.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2512 be recommended to pass.
Senator Scheidt has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2512 be recommended to pass. Senator Scheidt, on your motion.
Mr. Chairman, the Minnesota Association of Realtors brought this bill forward. They are seeking to enhance the profession of real estate sales and also of real estate brokers. And so this deals with continuing education, enables the commissioner of the Department of Commerce to come up with, in consultation with them, the kind of the latest topics that are happening in the marketplace and create a module course. It wouldn't be a course that would continue forever to be required, but it could be just a hot issue in that particular year or space of time that they feel it's worth all realtors having that or brokers having that information. So this bill has been discussed with the department, and they were, as far as I understand, on board in being able to deal with its different requirements. It's not terribly complex. It's just that it allows for these modules, and then there will be testing on those modules. Then to get a broker's license, now you need 2 years of experience as a salesperson. This does increase that to 3. So brokers would have to have 3 years of experience before they could obtain that license. And then their continuing education, that is for brokers, would also have a one-hour annual module specifically designed for the kinds of things that brokers deal with, legal issues, risk management, office management, those kinds of things. And I would appreciate your support for this legislation.
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would Senator Scheid yield for a question?
She will yield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senator Scheid. I've just had a number of members ask me a few couple of questions about this, and I didn't remember all the details from the committee hearing, so I thought it would just be helpful if I could ask you the question and maybe you could inform us. The first one was, and they're linked, who at the Department of Commerce is going to decide what is the appropriate modules and how does that get set up, or who decides it in the Department of Commerce, and how what is the process for deciding that? That's the main question. Who and how is that decided?
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Gerlach, actually the bill says the Commissioner of Commerce, so it would obviously be their designee, someone in the department who already deals with real estate licensing, I'm sure, and someone who has experience. I mean, this isn't a new duty for the Department of Commerce. Well, it is, but it's not a new subject area. Obviously, and so they're quite familiar with the continuing education classes, and I think that they will confer as well with the Realtors, the Real Estate Trade Association, which is the Minnesota Association of Realtors, and they will also, I think, work out the course parameters and the testing also with the providers of the continuing education. So it'll be coordinated. There's language on page 3 and 4, rather significant new language describing that process. And I think that was part of the compromise with the association and the department, because I think the department didn't want to be solely responsible for the development of these modules.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Scheid, I've had a real estate license, including a broker license, for now 31 years. I didn't even think I would ever say that, especially in light of the real estate market that we've had in the last few years. But the difference that this bill that's new is that before, we do have required courses we have to take in a 2-year period of time. Some are on federal housing law, making sure that that civil rights laws are appropriately known by those who have real estate designations. That is reflected in a required course every 2 years that every designee has to take. The difference with this bill and what current practice is that the legislature approved and required that class. It was required by the legislature making that decision. Now we're giving a little more cloudy permissive authority to the commissioner to tell us what we have to study every few years, and that the legislature now is out of it. Time will tell will be a good decision or not. I'm hoping that the commissioner will use prudent judgment and recognize real issues rather than perhaps someone in the future pursuing some politically correct agenda, and that it'll be truly a professional recognition of different changes to the industry. And that will, of course, fall back to the legislature to try and correct that if it does get abused. The question that I have is whether or not there's enough time to change the system. Maybe you could tell me a little bit about how quickly the industry, the continued education industry, has to respond. You may be aware that there's a number of competitors in that business. It's a very competitive field. Some are very well equipped to change quickly to the requirements of law to present adequate courses. There are others that are much smaller that may have a very difficult time in reacting to present in a competitive way a course that's now required by law. And I'm hoping as a result we're not inadvertently, by mistake, creating a little monopoly of one provider of a continued education at the expense of everyone else. Could you give us maybe a timetable of what's available in your bill?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Limmer, I'm happy to respond to that. I thought I would direct members to some language because it's not going to be, well, it's significant because we're recognizing that issues do come up from time to time that are not ongoing issues. There may be a new kind of financing coming, although, you know, we're all nervous about, you know, that happening, but that could be happening. We have seen, as you said, human rights legislation that needed to be taught, and the legislature specified that everybody must have that. This is for 3 3/4 or 7.5 hours of module training every license year, with that's within the 30 hours for these modules. So it's not going to be the lion's share by any means of the continuing education. Then the effective date, I think, is important to note here. That really pertains to your question about will people be able to gear up and will they have the opportunity to provide this education. It's effective January 2011. And so that the module training, so that is not quite a year, but I think that that will be sufficient time.
Mr. Senator President. Lambert.
Senator Shedd, as you understand the bill, the 2011 date is when we start this program, but as modules change from, I don't know if it's year to year or if it's a three-year period for the same module, how much advance notice will be given to those providing the continued education service to gear up? And that's what my line of previous questioning was about.
I'm sorry.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, the language specifically said that when the commissioner has created the module, that they have to publish this to all licensees and to the real estate continuing education providers, an outline of the topics covered and the credits that are associated with it no later than April 1st of each year.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. President, Senator Scheid, is that for the next year involved? I don't know if this module training is limited to 1 year or if it's for, let's say, a three-year period of time, or is that at the discretion of the commissioner? And if it is an April notice date, is that for the current year or is that for the next year? I'm just trying to determine that. It does take time to build a real estate education curriculum and then get it into play and then give adequate notice to all the real estate license holders. There's like 44,000 that are still in license status in the state of Minnesota. I'm just hoping that they all have notice. Quite often, like myself, I'll try and get my continued education done before April because the deadline's in May. And I don't want to run off the edge and then be without a license, which means I have to stop my business practice. So I'm hoping that's been adequately vetted so that we have adequate time and notice to everyone involved.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Senator Limmer, the section is effective January 1, 2011, and applies to licenses that begin or continue after June 30th of 2011. So I think people will have ample opportunity to develop the courses and the testing and also then take and for real estate salespeople and brokers to take the courses.
Further discussion? There being no further discussion, Senator Scheid renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2512 be recommended to pass. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the bill will be recommended to pass. We'll now take up number 7 on general orders, Senate File 2372. Senator Erickson Ropes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2372 be recommended to pass.
Senator Erickson Ropes has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2372 be recommended to pass. Senator Erickson Ropes, on your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have been very pleased to co-chair a committee over the last two interims called the County Service Veterans Officers Working Group, and we've been working on some recommendations that we got from the Office of Legislative Auditor a couple years ago. This bill is the second as a result of those recommendations, and you'll see before you a bill that has been worked on by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Commander's Task Force, the Minnesota Association of County Service Veterans Officers, Minnesota Senate Representatives, House of Minnesota Representatives, Minnesota Intercounty Association, and finally the Association of Minnesota Counties. And I want to thank all of those groups and their members for the hard work on this bill. This bill revises existing laws relating to the county service veterans offices to provide direct responsibility for administration to those offices and to the individual counties. The changes require that the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs provide support and training for the offices, and this bill also provides for training and education requirements for county service veterans officers and additionally their assistant CVSOs. And just to remind members, you all have CVSOs in your individual counties. These are locally funded agencies that began in 1946 to assist veterans in your counties and their families with obtaining benefits and services. So, Mr. Chair, with that, I will stand for any questions.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just rise to support Senator Erickson Roep's bill. We did a program evaluation of veteran services several years ago with the legislative auditor, and we did find wide disparities in the types of services that veterans in various counties were able to receive. And one of the reasons we think that may be happening is because they simply need more training about what they should be doing. We have some counties that are really models of efficiency in serving veterans, and we want those best practices to be handed down to the counties that are not doing as well. And I do believe that this bill will help address that issue.
Is there further discussion? There being no further discussion, Senator Erickson Ropes has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2372 be recommended to pass. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails and the bill will be recommended to pass. We'll proceed now to number 11 on general orders, Senate File number 2439, Senator Salzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File number 2439 be recommended to pass.
Senator Salzman has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2439 be recommended to pass. Senator Salzman, on your motion.
There. And also, Mr. Chair, I have the A50 amendment I would like to introduce.
The Secretary will report the A15 amendment.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Senator Salzman moves to amend Senate File 2439 as follows. Page 1, line 8. This is Amendment A50.
Senator Salzman, on your A50 amendment.
Yes. And on the amendment, Mr. Chair, this amendment is an amendment to the live check bill, and this particular amendment was brought to me We worked with the Attorney General's office and also with the banking industry to clarify that this bill does not apply to live checks that are issued by credit card companies that some people may get that allow you to write against your credit amount. So it's just defining that this bill does not pertain to that. It has been amended onto the House bill. The Attorney General has looked at this as well as the banking industry. So it's just to give everybody comfort.
Is there discussion on the A50 amendment? There being no discussion, Senator Salzman has moved adoption of the A50 amendment. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Senator Salzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This file, Senate File 2439, is really a consumer protection bill, and it's one of those things that, you know, really is targeted a lot of times to senior citizens. Now, if a person gets a live check in the mail, they may see a check and it looks like a refund, and it's coming from a company that they're already doing business with, that they've used a credit card to charge something, and it may be for a small amount, $5 or $6. In fact, you have on your desk an example of a check that was sent to someone for $5, and they think, well, maybe I'm getting a refund for something, and so they turn the check over and endorse it, and you'll see the back of the check, and this print has been is much darker than you'll normally see, but essentially what they're doing is they're signing off and agreeing that a specific amount can be taken off their credit card and charged to them on an ongoing basis for some service or credit protection or something that they may not ever see a product coming to their home. And then later on, some amounts show up on their credit card, again, from the company that they've done business with, but not necessarily the company that is getting these dollars. And so what this would do is prohibit live checks from being issued in the state. It comes from the Attorney General's office. And I know people have asked how do people get this information? And companies can sell a consumer's credit card information to other companies. Now, this bill does not address that, but it is saying that at least we're trying to protect consumers, especially seniors, who may not really be able to see or really know what they're signing off on when they sign and then cash these checks, Mr. Chair.
Is there discussion on Senate File 2439? There being no further discussions, Senator Salzman has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2439, as amended, be recommended to pass. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails, and the bill will be recommended to pass. Senator Betzel.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee do now arise and report.
On Senator Betzel's motion that the committee do arise and report, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. The motion prevails. Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, I move that the report of the Committee of the Whole as kept by the Secretary be now adopted.
On Senator Betzel's motion, all in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails.
That's all the work we have
on the desk. Senator Betzel, that is all the work that we have on the desk.
Announcements of Senate interest?
Announcements of Senate interest? Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senator Saxog, Metzen, and Perry all day. Senator Sharon from 11 to 11:20. Senator Cohen from 11 to 11:30. And Senator Foley from 11 to 11:30. Senator Moi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the members of the Judiciary Committee and the public, today for both the 3 o'clock as well as for the 6:30 meetings, the Judiciary Committee will be meeting in room 112 instead of room 15. So it will be in room 112. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Betzel yield?
Senator Betzel, you yield.
Senator Betzel, I'm not sure if you would be aware, but the question is going now and looking towards next week. Are there any thoughts what we might be doing on the floor on Monday and possibly even Thursday?
Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, Senator Senjum, not my pay level. I don't know. I'm guessing, I'll just tell you my own presumptions, that if next week is deadline week, usually in deadline week we have more floor sessions because we're trying to process bills out of one committee to another, and the sessions tend to be shorter. But I don't know what the plan is since I'm not aware that the deadlines have been adopted yet. So I don't know. I do know that the Senate is planning on coming in at 11 o'clock on Monday, and that's you'd have to ask somebody else that one.
Senator President, and if the majority leader is listening or watching, if we could have some certainly idea in the minority by Friday, it helps us a lot as we prepare for Monday's session in terms of caucus. So that would be helpful and not be requested.
Mr. President, Senator Senjum, I'm told that you can again plan on at least one more floor session next week, but again, usually those are for the process of processing committee reports, so we can move bills from one committee to another in order to meet deadline.
Senator Betzold.
Mr. President, if there are no other announcements, then I would move that the Senate adjourn until Monday, March 8th at 11 a.m.
Senator Betzold has moved that the Senate adjourn until Monday, March 8th, 11 a.m. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails, and the Senate is adjourned.